Psalm 86 we read together. And we come to the third part of a short series looking at some of the names that the Bible gives to God, that people used in speaking of God throughout the ages and still do today. So Psalm 86, and let's read there again verses 8 to 10. So David says to God, he says, among the gods, that's the things that people worship in other nations, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. We're going to look at the word that's translated Lord in Psalm 86 with lowercase letters. So verse 3, have mercy on me, O Lord. And verse 4 again, bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Verse 5, you're forgiving and good, O Lord. And this is the word, the Hebrew word, Adonai. I don't know if you've heard that word at all, but Adonai. And that's what we're going to think about tonight. Lord. Now, we don't really think about living with a Lord today, do we? Our ancestors in this part of the world in the past would have been very aware of whoever the Lord was, the man in the castle, the man who had authority over their lives, the man who had the power to determine where they lived, what they did, how they lived, and who could decide whether they were promoted or demoted, were rich or poor, a person with absolute power. And so it was in most parts of the world. There was a setup where people had their lords, and they owed them everything, and the Lord had absolute power over them. Today, that just seems like something completely alien. Today, the concept of authority is difficult enough to grasp. I think for young people growing up today, there isn't the same sense of people being in charge. Parents don't have the same iron hand in bringing up their kids that they once had. Teachers don't have the same authority in the classroom that they once had. And authority figures like the police or the military or whatever are usually pretty distant in our lives and getting fewer every day. As cutbacks dig into our armed forces and our police. So authority is something we're not too conscious of a lot of the time. Growing up, I think people fear no one these days. We are a nation where each individual is his or her own lord. We're a nation of egos. We think a lot of ourselves, and we don't really have to answer to anyone as long as we keep a reasonable regard for the rule of law, don't go speeding down the road in our cars or whatever, then we probably don't have to do much, have much to do with authority most of the time. At the moment, in my own study of the Bible, personally for my own benefit, I'm thinking about authority, and I'm thinking about why do I serve God? What is the motivation for being a minister? And I know, and I was actually discussing this briefly with Dave Mockett this afternoon, I know that it's easy for us to serve God to make ourselves feel better. It's easy for us to serve God for our own ego, so that at the end of the service tonight, it's easy for me as a preacher to shake hands with you all and to be waiting for the compliments. And of course, if someone says, you know, that was really rubbish, Roddy, to take it very personally. But that's not why preachers preach, or it shouldn't be. We do it for God. And we don't do it for ourselves. We have to be aware that in our world, what we do as we go about our business, it must be for God. But actually, it's very difficult for us to grasp that. I grew up in a home where, as I've often shared with you, the father figure wasn't really there. So there wasn't really much discipline to train my ego and to sort of keep me in check and make me less self-centered. Not only that, I didn't have any brothers or sisters to knock the rough edges off me either. However, I've had a congregation for 24 years and you're working on me, I know that. But as a Christian, I have to admit, I find it very hard to grasp the idea of calling God Lord. And I find it hard on my ego. Because if God is Lord, then I owe him everything. And he has the right to do anything in my life. That's what Adonai is about. That's what the title Lord is about. Now let's just go over where we've come to already. Let's do a bit of revision. Verse 1 of Psalm 86. The first title of God in the psalm is the title Lord with capital letters. So what's the underlying Hebrew name there? We looked at it last week. Someone tell me. Yahweh. That's it. If ever you see in the Old Testament, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's the title Yahweh, or it used to be Jehovah, but Yahweh is how it probably is pronounced. And in verse 2, there's another title, the regular title, God. What was the Hebrew word that was behind that one? Anyone remember? That was 2 weeks ago.
Elohim.
Thanks, Willie. Thanks, Willie. Elohim. Now you might be saying, I'm doing this for my ego, just to feel better with the thought that you're all listening. But no, this is really very interesting, very exciting teaching. The third verse then comes to this third title, Lord. And it's the word Adonai. So verse 1, Yahweh. Yahweh was the one who led his people out of Egypt. He's the deliverer. And so David begins praying to him for deliverance in verse 1. Hear Yahweh, answer me. I'm needing your deliverance. He's praying to Yahweh to deliver him. Verse 6. Hear my prayer, Yahweh. Listen to my cry for mercy. Okay. And in verse 2, Elohim, God, is the one who created everything. He's the one who is the real God, the one who really exists. There's lots of other gods among the nations, but he's the real one. He's the one who actually, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. He's the real God. And he's the one, again, verse 10, you alone are God. Verse 12, I'll praise you, Lord my God, and so on. But verse 3 is this other title, it's Adonai. Now that title sometimes comes up in names, like Adoniram. Remember, Adoniram was the man in charge of the slaves in Solomon's day. Adoniram, meaning Adonai, my Lord. Ram, remember Abram, meant exalted father. Adoniram means my Lord is exalted. Or there's Adonijah, who was one of David's sons. Adonai, my Lord, Yahweh. My Lord is Yahweh. You know, so you sometimes come up with this in people's names. Whenever you see this word Adonai is sometimes used, or a shorter form of Adon is sometimes used when people are speaking of authority figures, like Sarah actually called Abraham my Lord, Adon. David, you see, calling Saul my Lord, the king. And so it goes on. The kings in the Old Testament are often called Lord. They're often called Adon. Eli the priest is called Adon. Pharaoh, Elijah, and so on. It's the word used of a powerful superior. But Adonai, which is a longer form, is only used of God, and it literally means my lords. It's a plural word, just like Elohim was. Remember we said Elohim was plural because, like, all the nations had their gods for everything. There was a god for the sea, and there was a god for the river, and there was a god for the mountain, and there was a god for the sun, and there was a god for the trees. Elohim is all the gods rolled into one. He's everything that all the other nations' gods are and more. He can do anything. He's God of everything. So it's the same with Adonai, my lords. It's like all the lords of the nations, all the great figures of the nations that they worship. Well, Adonai is them all rolled into one. He's everything. He's the Lord of absolutely everything. And maybe that sort of plural as well indicates God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is majestic. Sometimes in later writers, and writers of especially the prophets, you know, later on in the history of the Old Testament, they put the two words Adonai and Yahweh together, so you get Lord God with the capital G-O-D. So if you see Lord in small letters and then capital G-O-D, it's Adonai Yahweh. Sometimes God is called that, or the NIV translates it as Sovereign Lord with capital L-O-R-D, Sovereign Lord, authorized version, Lord God. Just passing by that quickly. So, what this title says is this. There is a Lord. The world has a Lord. We have a Lord. There may no longer be a Lord in the manor, or a Lord in the big house, or a Lord in the castle, but there is a Lord over everything. An absolute sovereign overlord of the whole of the earth. And we here tonight are on his estate. The estate of the Lord, Adonai. The one who is absolute power in our lives. That's what it means when we speak of Adonai. When we speak of the Lord. When we speak of God in that way. He is the one who's got absolute power. We're here at his pleasure. And we can't escape that. We cannot evade that. Because Adonai is Elohim. He's the real God. He's the creator. He's the one who actually created it all. But he's Lord. He's not just a God out there somewhere distant who's forgotten about his creation. He's a God who's Lord in his creation. He's a God who's over it. And he's a God who's involved in it. And he's involved in it as a king. He's involved in it as a ruler. And we are his subjects. We are under him. He has the authority over our lives in every department of our lives. There isn't anything in our lives that doesn't belong to him and over which he doesn't have direction and charge. And there's none of life that isn't his business. Everything about our lives is under this Lord. Our Lord, God, will rule us. He will direct us. He will destine us. He will have his purpose for us. He will judge us. There's no way that we can escape this. Our ego may not like that because we grow up doing what we please, because we get away with murder. But God is not going to let that happen. When it comes to the final bit, he will exert his lordship and completely bring everything under his authority. Ultimately, everything will bow before him. Ultimately, everything will be judged by him. You can't change that. You're not in charge. Adonai is. The Lord is. Now, what do we need to know about this Lord? Well, three things I'm going to mention. I want to speak about his power, his personality, and his praise from the psalm. His power. In verse 8, David says, among the gods, the things that the nations worship, there is none like you, Adonai. There is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with your deeds. There's no one and nothing like you, Lord. Adonai has the power to be the Lord. Remember, the name literally means my lords. It's like saying, You know, all the nations round about with their gods, with their lords, and they have a god like Egypt, for example. They had a god for the river Nile, and they had a god for the harvest, and they had a god for the sun, and they had a god for different animals, and they had a god for different times of year and different kinds of weather. Well, Adonai is all the gods rolled into one. He's over everything. There isn't a part of life, an aspect of life, that isn't under his command. So he is, to be contemporary and to think about the weather we've been having, especially our friends south of the border in the south of England, the storm, the flood, the hurricane, the tide, he is Lord of these different elements. Absolutely. Indeed, I heard some poor gentleman being interviewed by the BBC yesterday, and he said, you know, speaking about the impact the terrible weather had had on his home and his family, he said, "I don't know what terrible thing we've done to displease the gods," he said. Well, Adonai is all the gods, if you like, rolled into one. He's the god of the storm, he's the god of the hurricane, he's the god of the flood, he's the god of the tide, he's the god of the elements. And that's just speaking about one particular aspect of our lives. And if anything, this weather has showed us, reminded us, we're not the Lord. We're not lords. We are at the mercy of the Lord. We are in his power. And I think the recent weather just is a way perhaps of reminding our nation about that. And maybe some people will see and learn what maybe it's easy to forget, that we're not in charge of our destiny, we're not in charge of life, and we're not in charge of nature. The Lord is. He's in charge of every element. And there's nothing about your life that he's not in charge of. He's in charge of your day, he's in charge of your night. When you sleep and when you wake, he's in charge of your health, he's in charge of the resources of your life, the money that you have, he's in charge of your safety, he's in charge of your mind, your heart, your body, your spirit. He's in charge of everything. In charge of your past and your present and your future. He has absolute power. He disposes as he pleases. He does what he pleases. That's the God whom David is worshipping here and whom David is speaking to here. He can do things. If he wants to do something, he does it. Nothing can stop him because he has the power that is absolute over everything. That's his power. But what about his personality? Because I have to say that if Adonai has all this power, but he's not good, we're in trouble. What if the Lord is all powerful, but he's malicious? Now, history is full of characters who have been given an awful lot of power, and then they've abused it. We're looking at Saul in the morning services just now. Hitler was given an awful lot of power, and he abused it. He created the concentration camps. What if God has made this entire world as just one great concentration camp in which to make people miserable, in which to make people suffer, in which to take pleasure in the trauma and the tragedy of human life? What if he's bad? What if he's like Hitler, but on a cosmic scale? That's scary. David, however, recognizes that he has nothing to worry about when it comes to the character of the Lord, because the Lord's character is good. And he quotes in verse 15, he quotes some words that actually came from the lips of Adonai, that came from the lips of God, back in Exodus 34. It's a direct quote from Exodus 34 in verses 6 and 7. And we studied these words years ago, and they still ring in my ears all the time. And they're quoted many times throughout the Old Testament. In fact, I'll just read them because it's good to remind us of these things. But Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. So, God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord," that's Yahweh, "the compassionate and gracious Elohim, God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin," and so on. Okay, so God, the Lord, Adonai, said that. The Lord said, this is what I'm like. I'm absolute Lord of everything. But this is what I'm like. This is my character. I have power. Here's my personality. I am, and David quotes it in verse 15 here, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Now that is good. And actually in Exodus 34, Moses immediately responds in verse 10 of Exodus 34 by calling God Adonai, Lord. That's what you're like. And that's what David says in verse 15, "You, Adonai, are a compassionate and gracious God, the Lord of creation, with all power, is good." Now that really should thrill us. Because, you know, many people are troubled by their image of God. They feel, perhaps because life has been hard and difficult, they feel God isn't good. God has it in for us. God has been taking pleasure in my misery and struggle and suffering. Well, that's because they're misinterpreting the situation. God, the Lord, is compassionate and gracious. He is good. That's not the full story, of course, because there's a lot wrong and broken about this world. But the Lord of this world is good. And we don't take this seriously enough, because it ought to be a constant comfort to us, like it is to David here. This is a great psalm. I love this psalm. It's one of my all-time favourite psalms, Psalm 86. Because David is saying, things are really rough. Verse 14, "The arrogant are attacking me." And we've been looking at this in 1 Samuel in the mornings. David being harried by Saul and by others in the desert. A band of ruthless men seeks my life. Men who don't care. They don't care anything for you, Lord. But you are good, he says. You are compassionate and gracious. That's his comfort. Is the character of the Lord your comfort in your hardships? Do you think, well, I'm suffering just now. My health isn't good. My finances aren't good. I've got problems in my family. The world's full of all kinds of troubles. But God is good. That's what keeps David going. When he calls on the Lord, verse 3, he's asking for mercy. Why? Because the Lord is merciful. He is merciful. Verse 5. "You're forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you." David finds comfort in the character of God in his troubles. He says, things are pretty bleak just now, but you're not, Lord. You are merciful. And I can appeal to your character. Now, people just don't see this clearly. Even Christians struggle to see this off. But this is the reality. The character of the all-powerful God who has complete control in our lives is good. Whatever else is happening in our lives, he is the Lord who is merciful. And that ought to, as verse 4 says, bring joy to us. bring joy to us. Because we're going to Him, the good Lord, the merciful God, in our troubles. The final thing is praise. What is our response to this Lord? David tells us in verse 9 and verse 12. He says, verse 9, all the nations that you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. This is a kind of a picture of the future, because at the moment David's saying there are the Philistines over there, and there's the Midianites over there, and there's the Amalekites up there, and so on. And all around there are these different nations, and they don't have any concern for you at the moment, Lord, but they will. One day, all the nations are going to praise you. And then in verse 12, he says, I'll do it too. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Praise is not an optional thing for the nations or for individuals. And it's certainly not an optional thing in the thinking of Christians. It's not just for keen Christians. Praise is not just for people who like singing hymns, or who like organs, or who like Gregorian chant, or modern worship, or whatever. Praise is not, it's not like that. Praise is a way of life, expressed to God, just because of who He is. We cannot but be in wonder, love, and praise towards Him. We can't but, because He is Lord. He's got all the power that there is, and He's good. He's got all the good character that there is. So, what else can you do in the presence of the Lord but praise, when He is this God of with more love and with more power than you could ever imagine? What else can you do but praise Him? You know, when we don't praise God, it's either a sign of arrogance, that is, we think that somehow we're big enough that we don't have to do that, or it's a sign of blindness, that we just don't see what He's really like. By the way, if anyone happens to have some plumbing skills, I don't usually preach to the accompaniment of the pipes, but I was just waiting for that. I did try to turn the tap the other day to see if I could get it adjusted so it wouldn't make a noise. But anyone wants to go in there and sort it, that would be great. Anyway, back to praise. Praise the Lord. David does that. And if you can see the Lord the way David sees Him, remember, he's in the desert, he's got enemies all around, life is tough, it's miserable. But the Lord is powerful, the Lord is loving, the Lord, what can I do, says David, but praise you? There's nothing else I can do but praise you. What other response could we possibly have to God? What other response would do justice to who God is? And how does David praise God? Verse 12, with all my heart and forever. With all my heart and forever. That's how David praises God. Now, David didn't know what we know about God sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And if there's any reason why we should see this all more clearly, it's because of Jesus. Adonai, He came. He came into His world. Isn't that wonderful? He came into His world. Infinite love. This God of infinite compassion and grace, slowness to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He came. He lived. He loved. He suffered. He died. Adonai came. Adonai, the powerful one, came. Almighty power. He triumphed. There was nothing too hard for Him. No sickness He could not heal. No element like the storm that he could not calm. There was no evil power that he could not command. Sin itself, guilt and condemnation, he defeated at the cross. And death, he triumphed over in his resurrection. Adonai came in his love and in his power to this world. Thomas, one of the disciples, struggled to see all this. He struggled that who was Jesus? And unless I see, he said after Jesus had risen, unless I see his hands and his feet, I will not believe that he's risen. Remember what happened? Jesus came again after the resurrection. This time Thomas was there. Jesus says to him, Thomas, you know, put your hands into my wounds. Touch my side. It is I. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Remember what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. He worshipped. Of course, the language was different. This was now the Greek language. But he is saying, Adonai. He is saying, you are the all-powerful. You are the all-loving. You are the Lord of all. And you've come. Yes, really, you whom we've been following these years. You are the Lord. The Lord of whom David sang in Psalm 86. You've come into this world for us. And he praised him. My Lord and my God. That's what we should do too. Let our lives recognise then that although there is no Lord in Ailendon and Castle and in Castle Moyle, although there is no Lord resident over us, sitting in the estate of Lochalsh, commanding our lives, determining where we live and determining our financial circumstances and every detail of our lives, as there would have been in the past. Although lordship is something that we're quite unfamiliar with on human terms, we are still living under a Lord today. The Creator of all, the Saviour, the Deliverer, Adonai. We're in His estate tonight, and He is good. He has power in every aspect of your life. But you can go to him for mercy because he is good. And you can know him in his good rule over your life so that from your life flows praise. As David says, from your heart and forevermore, Adonai. All power, all mercy, rolled into one glorious God, the real God, the Creator, the ruler over all, who tonight commands your life and commands you to recognize him and to receive his mercy and to live in the joy of his blessing forever and ever. Amen.